Some enchanted evening, you will meet Godzilla. Beef, wine, and shenanigans, folks. We're back. We're black. And one of us is a little sleepy. Hey, Stephen Van Patten here, joined by Denise Tapscott, Kirk Johnson, and the somewhat suave yet sleepy Mark Epp.
Yay!
Yay! Academics in the house.
In the house.
Buenos noches.
Well, before we get into anything too crazy, we should probably congratulate Pepe here for getting his new gig. Pepe. Mark Abbott.
Thank you.
Get ready, Bronx, because Mark Abbott is headed your way. He's going to be molding young minds so that they'll at least, you know, speak proper English or some reasonable facsimile thereof.
Dangerous Minds reboot.
That's right. That's right.
Look at his face. Oh, my stars.
You see,
that's my teacher.
That's right, teenagers in the Bronx, get used to that face.
You see, Kirk, the black race can't afford you no more.
Oh, dear God.
They can't afford me now. They couldn't afford me back then.
He went right to Adolf Caesar. We're not even 3 minutes into the show yet. Oh, my God.
Who are you to say who is black enough?
Look here, Geechee. I see what you're doing.
Geechee.
Black race can't afford you no more.
See, now 3 months from now, it's going to be like, they used to call me Crazy Mark, but now they call me Batman.
Call me Batman. You do drugs, boy? You want to do drugs? Huh? You want to die? You want to die? Then jump off. Go ahead, just jump.
So, anyway, the crux of what we're getting at here, ladies and gentlemen, is that Mark Abbott has accepted a new job, teaching English. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, and so all jokes aside, we really do need to give him a round of applause.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Congratulations. Seriously, because, super proud
because
of you.
Because it couldn't be me. Anyway.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
We should open up a bar just for Mark. So he comes home from work, he's like, I can't believe they spelled cat with 2 K's. And a G. And the motherfucker had the audacity to tell me the G is silent.
Fat cat sat on a mat.
It's silent, man. Like not. You know, like light bulb, it's silent, like the G and the H is silent.
Silent night.
Oh my God. and this, believe it or not, folks, is how we express love to each other.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm.
That's why we drink.
And then there's that.
Sir, yes, sir.
And there's that. So, Mr. Kate, anything else you'd like to tell us about the new gig, the new exciting gig, molding young minds,
yes,
showing them the way,
improving our future,
improving our future.
You shouldn't use emojis in an email.
No. After that introduction, you think I'm gonna tell you any more about what I do, where I go, what I think?
That's all right. All we got to do is follow you to work.
What,
I mean,
what imaginations I'm going to enhance on people? You think I'm going to tell you what
just
I'm
did.
About to do?
You kind of just did. You, no, no, you no, kind of no, just told no, us. No,
I alluded. I alluded.
You kind of told
alluded.
Yourself.
Alluded.
You,
alluded.
You can allude a Chris, but you did alluded. Just.
Oh!
You did just tell me something. A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't, but what I can't wait for is when his students find the podcast. Now that.
Oh my stars.
Mr. Abbott, what about 8 Mile?
We barely even got started. Oh my god. Flag on the play. Technical foul.
You're gonna be messing around. One of them kids gonna be part of the Gramercy Riffs.
We heard Kirk was making his way home. He's taking the A train downtown. Make sure we got a group waiting for him when he gets home.
Oh my god.
We're gonna go to the bar and Mark gonna come in mad. He's like, well, man, what's the matter? I had to give 12 people D's because instead of spelling the word, they used emojis. And it was a book report. And I'm gonna give you a big hug at that point. And every round you have is on me. Every round is gonna be on me.
It's like Houdini said, with friends like that, who needs enemies?
How many of us have them?
We like to be with some because they're funny. Others come around when they need some money.
Oh,
I'll take that. I'll take that one.
Oh man.
Oh my god.
Congratulations,
goodness.
Bro. Really, congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
Congratulations.
You went through a lot too. I remember those times he couldn't be with us because he was studying already and doing essays and theses and shit.
Well, don't take my class, man. Don't even come into my class.
Our guest speaker today, right. Kirk Johnson, would like to speak to you about theses.
Isn't that the one that fought the Minotaur?
Oh, sir, there's no smoking in my class. No smoking in my class. Oh, you got to put that out.
Yeah, so we were congratulating Mr. Abbott.
Yes.
And let's see. I think the thing we wanted to move on to, because I think everybody at least saw some of this, Wednesday.
Mm.
Which, for those of you that don't remember the Addams Family from back in the day, or the various incarnations starring, I believe it was Angelica Houston and Raul Julia.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Yes. Speaking of
Caramilla.
Other suave Spanish dudes outside of Mr. Abbott. Yeah.
Luis Guzman.
And Luis Guzman is the current. Guzman.
Yes.
Is the current Gomez.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was never, at least not to most folks, what the Addams Family actually were supposed to be. They were not quite as literal monster translations as the Munsters were.
Right.
But there was always this sort of like sense of the sinister, sense of the macabre.
Mm-hmm.
But in a very funny way, of course.
Yeah.
So this Netflix venture Wednesday, along with, you know, this blatant attempt to get Gen Z into the franchise, basically brings us to Wednesday in her high school years, and at her most lethal, I would say, since she starts off the first episode avenging her little brother Pugsley's being bullied by dropping piranha in the school swimming pool.
Right, the jocks swimming pool.
Yeah. Which one I thought was genius, and two, kind of took me out of the narrative for a second because I was like, no, there's no way this child's not going to jail, or at least juvie. But then it's insinuated, oh well, you know, parents are connected.
Yeah,
they got the monies. To,
demonies.
You know, despite the fact that apparently the young man lost a testicle,
right?
Yes.
From the water polo team, yeah.
Yes, obviously they had more money than he had whiteness. I probably edit it out later.
I'm saying. that's right. one more thing for Abbott to explain to his students in a couple of weeks.
Oof. Oh, my stars.
Anyway, I found the show to be quite amusing. I actually nice. Kind of wish I had gone to the high school that they finally stick her in.
Yeah.
I think probably all four of us would have probably fit in rather well, even if we were just our own clique. Oh, who are they? Oh, those are the black kids.
Right. Although there were the black kids there too.
No. But I'm saying as a school full of outcasts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'd be like what? The spicy black, pointy black, smart black, and bad black.
Just the black. The blickety black black.
The blackety black.
The blackety black.
We're the blackety blacks.
The blackety black.
No, we would have probably been Beef Wine and Shenanigans, and somebody would have walked up and been like, well, so which one are you, the Shenanigans? And then, right, we go.
But yeah, I found the whole thing to be charming. I found it very well written. I'm a big fan of a snappy banter. I'm not always a fan of precocious teenagers, but this particular instance, I found it fun.
Mm-hmm.
And especially since she was always on the, like, it was like she wasn't precocious, like dumb precocious.
Yeah. You
know? Right. And she wasn't, what was it, Legally Blonde?
Right.
Right.
And Jenna Ortega.
Yeah.
That could play.
Yes.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
She was.
Because they were all like definitely like knew they were Latino. They were definitely, were definitely Latino. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I appreciated.
I loved it. Yeah. I appreciated it too.
Yeah. I really
thought that was so necessary.
Yeah.
Zeta was nice. It was very nice as Morticia. I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like Kirk brought up earlier, Luis Guzman is actually a hit.
Yeah,
as Gomez, he is a home run, a complete home run.
Definitely,
Jones.
Let's talk about Uncle Fester for a hot second.
Caught me off guard
because that was probably the most blatant update.
I want to say,
in that they basically made him like goth Tupac or some shit. It's like he was like a gangster basically.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Fred Armisen.
Yes.
Yes, Mark.
Oh my God.
Did he just flex? Was that a flex?
Yes, that was a flex. That was totally a flex. Oh my gosh. Professor Abbott.
Please continue.
Yes, thank you. Turned him into quite the, like, because in the old show, he was just kind of like the creepy uncle that just kind of like, did his little experiments and whatever and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I'm trying to think.
But this one is more like James Cagney's, like an extra in an old gangster movie type.
Yeah.
I'm on the run from the cops and I stole things. I was with Thing when we did that heist.
Yes.
I know Thing because and you know,
Thing was mad.
Right. And it becomes a supernatural crime noir if you do like the backstory of Thing and Uncle Fester.
Mm-hmm.
Where Thing, or Betty, maybe his name was like Bert, was in an accident. And they tried to do a Frankenstein experiment on him, and instead only his hand actually revived instead of the rest of his body.
Right.
This thing has like stitches on it, like stitch back his hand. Like Bert got thrown into a train tracks and Uncle
Fester, you know, he has a history. He's got a really cool history. Yeah. He's got to.
Speaking of Thing, so apparently they didn't even really use like a full CGI thing. They actually had a guy chasing behind everybody in a green suit, and they just had the hand just kind of doing what the scene required.
Wow.
So that actually explains why the hand was so expressive.
Mm-hmm.
I think
yeah
that makes sense.
So
was it in? I don't remember if it was in.
No, it. Cousin It wasn't there.
No, no. Cousin It.
Yeah,
no.
We haven't gotten him yet.
Yeah.
Well, you know the what I loved about it, Tim Burton, you gotta keep an eye out because he slipped some of his stuff in there.
Yes.
So apparently on the headmaster's desk.
Love the headmaster.
In a jar is the shrunken head from Beetlejuice.
I think I saw that.
Oh, that's yes. What it was.
Yes.
In her curio cabinet, and you'll miss it. I had to go back because somebody.
I really think I saw Beetlejuice
is in there.
Yeah.
On the.
Oh, shit.
Probably the most famous Large Marge.
From
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You remember the truck driver
mm-hmm.
who Pee-wee yeah. gets the ride from?
Large Marge.
They say that's who that woman was that dropped the kid off at the beginning. Because she had on the wide eyes and the...
Holy shit.
Yeah. Oh, so now I gotta watch it again.
I was like, okay. But I saw something, and now I can't remember who they said Thing was supposed to be from the Tim Burton world. Mm-hmm. And I think they said it was supposed to be Beetlejuice's hand. Like somebody... You know, it's like there's a scene in Beetlejuice when he pulls his hand off and he's doing this with it. So they're saying, you know, it's fan kind of thing. I mean, it's probably not the truth.
And conjecture.
But I did follow one person who did say, if you look very closely at Lurch, when he first brings the family to the school, his eyes are brown. On the way back home, he has different color eyes. So they think Lurch might be the headmaster survived
Ooh.
And transformed herself.
Oh, into Lurch.
But would she want to do that, though?
I don't think she replaced Lurch, but I think it's supposed to be like a kind of a I'm still around kind of thing.
I hope so. I was so happy to see her.
Mm-hmm.
She is. I just googled her.
Gwendolyn
Christie.
Yes.
Yes. Especially when she was on Game of Thrones. Man, that's my girl, Brienne of Tarth. And then to see her, and she looks so beautiful, like with all her suits, just impeccably dressed, so elegant. I was like, there you go.
Yeah, she cleans up nice.
Anna of F around and find out.
Right. That was great. Yeah, but it was cool to see Christina Ricci too.
I won't spoil it, but I will say finding out who the villain was kind of kismet at the end, who we find out
who the
villain is. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. That actually makes sense. And maybe next season, if we get another season, maybe we'll get some of the other former Adam's Family actors, because you know Angelica's still around, Christopher Lloyd's still around. That would kind of be cool to see them just kind of pop up, you know. Too bad none of the original cast is around, because that would be kind of fun.
Oh gosh.
I mean, that was a long
that would
time
be hard
ago.
To have them
many moons ago.
So
yeah, I even like the throwback to the movie with Angelica Houston, because there was like that whole Indian Thanksgiving thing.
Yes.
Yeah, and I was like, just like in the movie. Yeah, that was great. Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed the show. I didn't think I was gonna like it because I don't really like those kind of teenagey kind of things. But I thought the writing, like Stephen said, was very clever. The characters are really well done, and it's not like the people of color were like forced in there. It just felt natural. Like the siren to be black. I mean, it's just why not? Yeah,
yeah, really, that was interesting.
It's gonna be if we get a second season, because I haven't really heard one way or the other. I mean, I would imagine, because with the numbers it hit, it only makes sense. Of course, we did say that about Lovecraft, but. I know, but I'm thinking that among other things, like with Cousin It and all of that stuff, I want to say, it'd be great to see, with speaking of the black people on the show, the sirens.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That was kind of left dangling a little bit, like where that's Bianca, actually gonna
right. That's after her mom showed up, we're like, whoa, all mm-hmm. the drama. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was actually like because it was kind of
that felt out of nowhere.
Oh, a little.
Yeah, you know but mean? You know, I mean,
because it didn't really play with the actual story of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, well, I think the fact that like all the parents to show up, it's like, oh, we get to actually see the parents,
right? Yeah. Right, but
all those like shows Enid, have that. It's like,
no. Like Enid's parents, like it makes sense. Like we know about Enid's parents because Enid being the werewolf girl and her spending time with Wednesday and being her roommate.
Yeah, you know,
that made sense. But I'm not saying I didn't like the Bianca mom thing.
Yeah,
it in the after aftermath, it feels like they're setting that up for season two.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It shows that Bianca's not as big a bully as she first turned out to be. Like this other side of her. But it was a little forced, I think, a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they wanted to give her like more of a character, seeing that she is like the mean girl villain.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then
it was kinda like it's kinda like a common thing now. It's like you present the bully and then you humanize the bully by showing what's going on with the bully's life that makes this person, you know, sort of a like bully, a toxic or, you know, exactly mm-hmm. something along those lines.
Right.
Yeah. I really liked the show. I enjoyed it so much.
I did it. Really actually, did. I would watch it again, to be honest.
Me too.
Yeah. I might go back and look at it just to catch some of the things I might've missed.
Yeah.
Cause you always do miss something on those shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I do want an Uncle Fester spinoff.
Uncle Fester and Thing, because that's gotta be,
oh my gosh,
that should be the darkest
hysterical,
oh my
the hysterical and dark. That's a James Gunn vehicle right there. Uncle Fester and Thing, after what he did with Peacemaker, Uncle Fester and Thing would be a James Gunn production.
That right Uncle Fester. Just be all subtitles though. That's the problem. Like
Uncle
the
Fester audience, right. And
they don't. Can you imagine the blood though? Just the guts, the violence that you know. Because after watching this, I get the impression that Uncle Fester is really like
he's a got sadist. A trail of bodies.
Yeah, he got bodies.
Right.
Him, like,
but he's Finn's driving probably... the motorcycle with the patches on it. Like, dude, you could have picked any vehicle.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like Thing is probably like Thing. I'm gonna call him Bert now. Bert was probably like the sensible one of the two.
He probably was. He probably was. That's why he's mad.
That's why he's mad.
Thing was the one trying to talk him out of stuff, and it was like,
right.
Yeah,
you know. But then that's funny because because Fester is Gomez's brother.
Yeah.
So that should be interesting to, you know.
Right.
Right. Because
if Gomez is a sweet, kind, and protective one.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is Fester?
Well, yeah. How many lobotomies does Fester have? Like he joked about it. Well,
right.
I mean.
The question is, how many did he give to other people?
Right.
What was the thing they kept telling him not to do? Was it eat the bees?
Eat the bees. Don't eat the bees. Don't eat the bees.
Like, well, he's a freak and he can like generate electricity in his fingers and whatnot. Yeah. So, I mean,
don't eat the bee.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Frankenstein experiment gone wrong and you get Thing.
Right.
Fester tried to do it.
And Thing is like super, super smart. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A super, super smart hand. Yeah. It's a crazy, crazy thought. Like, if they were to actually have the foresight to actually create a completely different offshoot vehicle and just call it, I don't know, just Fester, you know, be like
Fester the Fiend.
Yeah, but but to Kirk's point, I mean, I could see that also being like incredibly like just like really, really fucked up.
Yeah.
The wall fucked up. And they should do it. I mean,
but then the audience is smaller. You lose. Mm-hmm. And the love interest, oh gosh.
You might be able to, because, you know, I think we've all talked about it, and Marvel did it where you have one world and different genres.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you have the Addams Family world, and you can play with different genres within that world. So you can have like a horror, black comedy. Like violent thing going on with Fester, and then you can have like an actual romantic love story with Morticia and Gomez, and even in a growing up and a coming of age tale, like a real sweet coming of age tale, like Lean on Me with Pugsley. You know what I mean?
Pugsley. Yeah.
And have and then have like a wacky comedy with Lurch. How Lurch became Lurch. It becomes like a really wacky comedy. A light wacky comedy. Exactly. Yeah, right. Like Lurch probably had like Lurch had a husband and everything. Lurch is gay, had a husband and everything.
That would be awesome.
It's like Lurch at the end of every episode of Fester and Thing.
It looked like Lurch's husband leaves him because Lurch doesn't open up.
Or maybe he talked too much.
He talked too much.
This guy won't shut up.
And Lurch went to Uncle Fester to get fixed, and Uncle Fester fucked up, and now Lurch can only go.
He's like,
actually, you know what? Now that you mention it, I'd like to see the Fester thing, but pull something from the 90s
X-Files,
Adams Family, and have him dating Flora and Fauna, the Siamese twins.
That would be
like one of them's just like him, and the other one's trying to talk him.
Yes. Oh my Flora god! A road trip with Flora and Fauna.
Oh my god!
That would make for an interesting sex scene. That.
There is a rock in the Addams Family. Were you doing thing? Were you like,
yes,
like, she was. Thing who's probably Thing who's probably very skilled in the art of, you know what? Never mind.
Thing is a navigator, so he knows where to find stuff.
Right.
See, exactly. See, gentlemen, come on now. Keep it clean-ish, please.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Speaking of James Gunn, as Kirk was nice enough to bring up sort of a, you know, segue. Yeah, what the hell is going on at DC? Like, that is a hot mess.
Oh my gosh.
A hot mess.
Yeah. Oh man.
So starts off, like the latest calamity, of course, starts off with the fact that there was a big old corporate merger, which is never good for anybody except for the people that are executing the merger. And yeah, basically. And so, fun fact, I was actually stage managing an episode of Bob Costas, his show, Back on the Record.
Oh, wow.
And it was the last episode. And, you know, not to get Bob Costas in trouble or whatever, but he was kind of like, well, yeah, they're talking about cutting billions of dollars out of the budget. I don't know if this show's coming back and blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's like, that's Bob Costas. You're going to take Bob Costas off the air? Like, you know, it's just like, it's like, what are we doing? You know? And mind you, this could also, not to sound like conspiracy theory, Negro, but this could all be part of like a push to get woke white people off the TV. Because Bob Costas will usually speak to an issue, you know, in a ethical and non-racist way. And there's a lot of other folks out there. And I just like, it's starting to worry me a little bit because, you know, Trevor Noah recently stepped down from The Daily Show.
Yeah.
We're trying to see what the hell's happening with that.
If you start hearing about John Oliver talking about leaving too, then we know that something's going down.
Exactly.
After he just came back. I don't know if anybody seen any of Jon Stewart's new show, but it's Like, ooh, it's basically, it's like, let's put it like this. So you know how John Oliver covers a couple of different topics per episode?
Yeah.
What's the matter with John Stewart? Or what's the problem with John Stewart, I should say?
Yeah, that's what's the problem with John Stewart?
Yeah. He basically takes one topic and dismantles it for the whole episode. And then he has like a panel discussion. So, yeah, it was like two or three guests and people just coming in from different perspectives and everything else like that.
Okay.
The one on domestic violence is actually really, really, really enlightening.
Oh, wow.
No, because they talk about, you know, how many times it actually takes the cops to do something. And that they pointed out that there's, statistically speaking, a big connection between gun ownership and domestic violence.
Oh, no. Mm.
Yeah. Wow. So there's that. But yeah, we need these guys on air. And
yeah,
I'm starting to wonder, especially since the superhero movies are also, for lack of a better way of putting it, they're kind of, you know, addressing social issues, or what the other side would, you know, deem wokeness in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it's like you almost have to wonder if this is all a part of this. Because of course the same people, as soon as they took over, the first thing they did was they shelved this Batgirl movie that
nowhere.
You know, it was supposed to be with a
black woman,
black lead.
Yeah.
And black female it's lead. Like, well, what was the point of doing that? Yeah. Like,
and they I could have streamed it.
Could have streamed it.
And, right. And that's the thing. Yeah.
And it's just odd because it's like, first of all, you just threw money away.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You shot a whole big budget superhero movie.
Yeah.
And now you're not gonna put it out.
Yeah.
That's mad suspect. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Totally. Yeah. Agree. No, I agree. Totally.
I
agree.
And I think we're all old enough to have seen these situations where these corporations or whatever, they take over a particular thing and they throw out all the babies with all the bathwater.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, because what? When the company experiences a new upheaval, you want to take full credit for it. You don't want to necessarily say, yeah, well, you know, the previous administration did X, Y, and Z and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, it's not like we don't get enough of that from our government.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I say all that just to say, all right, so James Gunn is in charge now, but just in the middle of all of that, Black Adam gets released.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Black Adam, right. Well, a lot of people will say you didn't really miss anything.
Yeah.
I watched it. By no means was it the greatest superhero movie of all time. or any time. For that
matter. Oh God, anytime. Oh,
yeah.
3 o'clock on a Tuesday. No.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched it, you know. Yeah.
You watched Morbius too. Yeah.
I'm a glutton for punishment.
Yeah. And you watch Lamb.
Oh yeah, you watched Lamb.
Well, y'all watched that.
You owe us drinks.
And that was bad.
Technically, I think I paid for those drinks already.
You're gonna pay for more, sir.
Oh well, I'll send you some long distance Whole Foods coupons.
Oh no, I'm coming in person. I'm coming January. Mark it on your calendar.
No, I think I feel a little. Start COVID saving your dimes. Anyway.
But James Gunn, you're talking about James Gunn.
James Gunn, mm-hmm. Yeah, James Gunn. You know, it's kind of interesting how, you know, he makes the second Suicide Squad movie and Peacemaker, and they're great. So now they give him the reins to the whole thing.
Yeah,
that in and of itself. It's like that. That's just like bizarre because Marvel did not just hand. I mean, Kevin Feige is you know in charge overall to a degree,
right. Mm-hmm.
But the individual directors I feel, and if anyone disagrees, you know, please say so. But I think the individual directors, and following along with a certain script guideline, whatever, understanding that, you know, you have to have all this connective tissue to the next movie, or, you know, a movie that was, you know, 2 years ago, or, you know, Blade as a voiceover, you know, or something that, you know, can make the Eternals relevant. You know, you've got all these little bells and whistles and Easter eggs and all this other stuff. And, you know, so whoever's directing is directing.
Do you think it's part of a power play on DC's part? I'd say part of, not the only reason they brought Gunn in to run DCEU. Is it DCEU? But DC as a power play, as a power play to keep him, to keep Marvel away. You know what I mean? Because Guardians of the Galaxy, nobody knew who the fuck they were.
Right.
And they did better. They've done better than Thor in terms of they have two Guardians of the Galaxy movies that people loved. Nobody can say that about all four Thor movies.
True. And they still have the holiday special and the next one coming special. Out.
So you know what I mean? So it's like every time Gunn comes in and he adds some little quirkiness and strangeness to these worlds, it's kind of like, you know what? Aside from all these other reasons we want to use Gunn, let's also keep him out of the hands of Marvel.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? He's doing big. I mean, just alone with like I said, the Christmas show, Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas show.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's killing it.
No.
I mean, he resurrected, for lack of a better term, in terms of, you know, the fans, Suicide Squad. Peacemaker wasn't nothing to laugh at either.
No, Peacemaker was great. I would never take anything away from Peacemaker.
That's what I'm saying.
I think DC thinks whatever magic he did over at Marvel, he can do here. I think DC,
and I mean to just play off of what Steve was saying.
I mean, because I think
a director, a whole.
I think DC is at a point they don't know what else to do. I think like they've run themselves. I think it's almost like
This is their second one. This is their second director because Hamada was the other one.
Yeah. The problem, and I said this to Steven earlier. I said the problem is it's a twofold problem. One, they're trying to catch up with a company that's done almost 20 years worth of great work across three different platforms. I've always believed that DC should have either kept to their TV work or their animated stuff. I always thought that's where their strong points were, because those stories could grow and enhance in that manner. When it came to the films, I think it's a twofold problem. It's a toxic fanboy situation where it's a bunch of fanboys who can't let go of the old DC and say, let me embrace something new and go from there. They still want, you know, the clean cut, syrupy sweet Superman. They still want, you know, they kind of want they want Michael Keaton with a hint of Adam West still in there. You know, they don't want to see the series. In my opinion, they don't ever seem like they're happy with what they're given. And so DC is trying to cater to a group of people who they can't figure out. They don't have anybody there. James Gunn, I think he's done some wonderful work. But he is not, in my opinion, he is not Jon Favreau. He is not the guy who loves and embraces the DC universe to the point where they're looking to clean up and come up with a new product, like repackage and come out with a new product.
But like, how many times can you repackage Superman? You like, Henry Cavill was like the best guy.
You can't. I mean, it's bad. What it is, it's bad scripts. It's bad scripts.
Yeah.
Probably the scripts are written by people who are not really, like, I put it this way. I loved Nolan's Batman.
Okay.
But Stephen Goyer, who co-wrote those, he wrote Man of Steel. And I was like, really?
Oh, wow.
Like, that, like, as story intensive as you were with the Batman series, this is what you did with Superman. And it's sort of like, you can't hit lightning in a bottle. Not saying Steven's a bad writer, but for this material, you needed somebody completely different. And I think that's part of the reason why DC just keeps tripping over itself. I will say this, and I'm going to take a little dust off of Steven and sprinkle it, because I have a feeling we're going to see that Batgirl movie. And the reason why I think we're going to see it is because my man who's doing The Whale, the actor.
Oh,
Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser was Firefly in that film. That man wins the Oscar for The Whale, which everybody thinks he's going to, the money people are going to be like, look, we need to ride this as fast as we can. If everybody's loving him right now, let's put this movie out. It's going to see the light of day at some point, because they're not going to, either that's going to happen or James Gunn is going to figure out a way to release this film, because at this stage,
at least streaming something.
I mean, like Steven said, it didn't make any sense. And even the financial explanation didn't make any sense. It was like, why would you, that completely doesn't fly with direction you're going in.
Yeah, and so, to hinder the actors' careers like that. Oh,
but I mean,
look
what they did to Henry. I mean, Henry leaves The Witcher because The Witcher's going in a direction he doesn't like. Mm-hmm. And you promised the man, we're going to make more Superman movies. So he leaves, comes here only for you to go, yeah, you know what? We changed our minds.
I heard The Rock begged him for that cameo.
Yeah.
Like,
man.
Literally mm-hmm. begged him.
Man.
Yeah.
I'm like, he wouldn't have to beg me.
I'm curious to see what happens now, because I think my thing is that everybody's crapped on Zack Snyder for so long, and they keep talking about how horrible and this, that, the other thing. But here's the problem. James Gunn is not a dark director.
No.
In the sense of, let me put it this way. They're already saying they're not going to do another Robert Pattinson Batman, which I think is a mistake.
Yeah.
Because I think that was probably the best Batman movie. In terms since The Dark Knight.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the essence of who Batman is. And I thought, this is where you build your universe around this.
Yeah.
We don't need another origin story for the five. We don't need another Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman.
No.
But then they're keeping the Flash.
Right. But the actor's a train wreck. Yeah. That poor guy's a dumpster fire.
He clearly has pictures of somebody with farm animals or something. Anybody else under any other circumstances, the studio would have dropped
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Seriously. Yeah. Yeah. But they're still like, ooh, the Flash. Oh, man.
Well, you know, I'm wondering, I'd love for somebody to say, well, the Flash was already in the can, so we didn't want to lose any funding or money on the Flash.
Well, then
but
that's
you did that
bullshit
with Batgirl.
Right.
Yeah, but that's my point. That would be my point. It's like, so you'd rather put that train wreck out.
That one. Mm-hmm.
Because we already know this. Girl? He's never going to return as the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what are you going to do with that? It's not even a story you can build on. Mm-mm. So I don't know. I think DC is, if James Gunn is taking over, hopefully he's using common sense.
Yeah.
Hopefully he will find a good team of writers who may, and I would even dare say it, I'll say it loud and
dare,
proud.
Dare.
You go down to DC's animation and down to their comic book play and get some of those writers.
Yeah.
Get them in there.
I think part of it also is how they tell the themes that they use to tell the stories. Mm-hmm. Like how far do you go? And for my money, James, like Black Adam, the theme, they did not go far enough. The Rock did not go far enough as he could have with the theme of what that story was about.
Well, I think they also don't really know their audiences that well. You want a Black Adam action figure for your kids? That's not going to happen.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Suicide Squad is not going to be good in a Happy Meal. Yeah.
Right, but you see what I mean? Like, Suicide Squad, he goes there with the theme. Like, he went in with the psychosis and the mental trauma that Harley was going through for the second movie, I mean. Mm-hmm. In the second movie, you know, and the fact that she didn't get better.
Right, she did not. Right? She didn't
actually get cured. Oh,
she
didn't
had that
get
hyena.
Better.
I just loved it. Yeah.
She just went crazier. She
went with it, yeah.
Yeah, but she still
But she wasn't
lives.
Codependent on a man. So from a female's perspective, she did get better in that sense.
She got better, right. She got better, but she still had...
The crazy is still there.
The crazy is still there.
Yeah.
But she's able to use
that. But the codependent part isn't good. Yeah.
To at least...
To step into her own
good.
Craziness, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, all the characters in Suicide Squad and James Gunn's Suicide Squad had their issues that actually never really got resolved in terms of their mental health issues, but they were still able to act for the benefit of people. They could still act heroically.
Yeah.
The thing with like Black Adam, how far he could have gone really far with the idea of human life not being that important to him.
Right.
Instead of just killing baddies.
Mm-hmm. Right. I heard that. Yeah. Just heard kill the bad guys.
You know,
kill the bad guys.
Just the bad guys. But, you know, what about the, you know, how, so you're not really that, you're not really a bad guy.
Right. Cause you're killing the bad guys. Yeah.
Right. So nobody, you know, and it came off that the good guys came off as kind of like, I don't know what the word is, like really, not very understanding or compassionate to the situation that goes on, especially when they talk about the country that they're in.
Right. So the good guys, So the good guys aren't really that good.
Right. And I figured, there was a moment that was a moment to like really play with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like kind of like a Supernatural, and the angels are actually not great at all. They're horrible.
Or better yet, if Killmonger and T'Challa, right? Those ideas were in the movie. Like, you know what? I have to, you know, fuck it, break this whole shit down for the sake of the people, as opposed to, well, we need to keep the system in place for the sake of people. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Go there. James Gunn, I feel at least James Gunn is not afraid to go there, but DC and whoever, the producers or the talking heads, the guys with the money, don't want to go there because, we can't make money off of that.
Right.
Well, you know, I will say this, just judging off of growing up on DC, DC has always been very black and white. This is good. This is bad.
Right.
There's no Legion gray. There's no gray.
Right.
Marvel has never. You know, Marvel has never been that way. Marvel has always played in a very gray area.
Yeah.
And I think the problem, I think one of the issues is, and just feeding off of the whole Zack Snyder universe, nobody wants to admit that these characters can go dark. It's you know what it is? It's meeting your hero and finding out he is not as perfect as you thought he was.
Yeah. Right.
And all of a sudden, it's like, but Superman, Superman would never go dark. Superman would never.
Man.
But I'm
I always say though, Lois Lane's not around. He's not going to save me. That's the deal.
But the thing has always been. But have you ever put him in that situation where he has? Because all of his villains have, which is if you look at all the in the cinematic universe, he's never actually fought a complex villain. Not like Batman has. Like, Batman's right. villains have psychological problems.
Yeah.
And right. even Batman, to a point, is like, I can't kill this guy because then I become... He's walking that fine wire.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Superman fans are like, oh, Superman doesn't walk a wire. He should never walk a wire. And I'm like...
Right. He saves the kid in the bus.
No, he should. But you know who did it better? You know who did it better than Zack Snyder? Because I didn't like Zack Snyder's movies at all. Mm-hmm. I was never, you know. But I think who did it better was the animated series.
Yes.
Was Justice League.
Yes.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. they did mm-hmm. it. They did a transition for him better than Zack Snyder did. Because the thing right. is, Zack Snyder, somebody brought up on YouTube, I can't remember his name, but he made a great point. The difference between Batman and Superman. The real person of Superman, Superman is the alter ego of Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Clark Kent is who Superman really is.
Mm-hmm.
And Superman is a disguise. It's reversed for Batman.
Wayne is the disguise.
Bruce right. Wayne is actually the disguise.
Right. Ooh.
And that's how you play with the concept of who these characters are and how they are corrupted.
Yeah.
Or how they have their doubts. And like, that's a great one with Clark Kent because, you know, he's still that boy who grew up with a dad who taught him the right and wrong, right?
Yeah.
There's no gray area. There's right and there's wrong. He taught him that.
Yeah.
And then he gets out into the world as a teenager or as a young adult and mm-hmm. has to, you know, and has a change or has to adjust to that new world without his dad there as an anchor. Bruce never had that anchor. So what happens when he becomes less of a hard ass and more of an understanding of that gray area?
Yeah.
Right? That's how you play that. And I think Zack Snyder, I find Zack Snyder an asshole and he's such a fucking emo, was it a Dark Lord they call him?
Mm.
He's so dark Lord, wow. and that's cool because he's dark and man, fuck you.
Right,
You can be dark, but have some sincerity and heart with that darkness.
That's like part of the reason why I've appreciated Zach is because let's throw that bathwater out of the window, man. Because at some point, the issue with Superman for me mm-hmm. has always been he has never truly accepted the world for what it is. He consistently keeps thinking that if I yep. keep doing this and I stick to this particular thing,
yeah.
And Batman has basically been like, look, nobody cares. They don't give it. Look at, I mean, and
the, even to that's the optimist point, and the cynic. The optimist and the cynic.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, at some point though, you're going to cross, I mean, that was the thing about, I kept saying in The Dark Knight, I was like, at what point does it get to your brain that, I literally sit there and was like, he's going to have to kill the Joker. He's not going to be able to, like, whatever you think you're going to do to mm-hmm. stop, like, everything he thought he could do mm-hmm. to stop a villain. And when Alfred said, I thought that was the perfect thing that Alfred told him. He said, some men just want to see the world burn.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Alfred had given that speech to Superman, he would have said to him, I don't believe that. And
yeah.
like,
yeah, yeah.
But you're going to.
But that's what's so engendering about Superman is yeah, that hope.
I agree.
Because you know what happens when you don't have any hope anymore? You become Black Adam.
Yeah. I know you're no serious. Longer, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to
and
laugh.
And it's no longer a situation where you are going to just kill bad guys. Everybody's a bad guy to you now.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. You become Rorschach.
Yeah.
You become Alan Moore's. Alan Moore already did that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And Alan Moore did it better.
Yeah.
Than Zack Snyder
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did it beautifully.
So yeah. You,
I mean, it's what DC didn't do with Superman is what Marvel did with Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Where he didn't go, they didn't chase after him as personally as the Boy Scout. What Marvel did is they went after, they made him question his beliefs, but not as him, as because he was always like the Boy Scout.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, he's the guy that's going to jump on the grenade. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But the idea of what he was a Boy Scout for changed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, yeah. Like, look at Tony Stark being the playboy, drinking with everything. Right. And then suddenly, boom, you're now stuck in this situation. You have to survive.
Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. He was forced to question the government and the country that he died. He was willing to die for.
Yeah.
And the ideals of that country that he was. So for Superman, it has to be teach him those ideals of good and evil, like, you know, the farm boy, you know, this is right, this is wrong. Teach him that. Be hopeful. Yeah. Have him optimistic and hopeful, but yet have him be challenged by what is he hopeful for and about.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm.
Is it the country he's hopeful for? Well, that's, you know, then he can have a conflict. Is it, what is, you know, it's not just, I believe, you know, I believe in unicorns and rainbows.
Right.
I believe in unicorn rainbows in this place, but not in this place.
Right. Like, that's why the Christopher Reeve one was, like, so good, like, way back in the day.
You should read. Right. You should read Red Sun.
I did. Red Sun. No, I know Red Sun. I do know Red Sun.
Oh.
And the, because the other thing, and,
when Superman fell into place. Russia.
Right. And the perfect thing to do with that. And the perfect thing to do with that. And that's what I mean, though. He's still the good guy in Russia.
Nice.
He's still a Boy Scout for Russia.
Mm-hmm. For Russia? Russia.
But yeah, he even... I forget who he gets confronted by, but he brings up the plight of African Americans as kind of a counterpoint for policing Russia. It's like, well, you know, like, so you guys want to do X, Y, and Z, but you oppress people in your country. You know, it's kind of like that.
Yeah. And you can play it because you've introduced.
But we'll never get to see that.
Because of DC's of DC 52. You can actually play with the Superman character from different universes.
Yeah.
Just do that.
Well, it's funny that we threw all this around, but, and, you know, going back to the animated stuff for a second, I don't know if everybody saw Injustice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Now.
Yeah.
So.
Tell me.
Okay.
Tell me.
So in Injustice, this is a very cute beginning because Lois is apparently pregnant.
Oh.
And then, long story. Have to come back. It's fine. So, Joker ends up tricking Superman into killing Lois.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
What?
And so, Superman basically snaps. Mm-hmm. And so now Batman's interrogating the Joker, and then Superman just kind of breaks into Arkham and literally punches a hole in Joker's chest.
Wow.
And this sets off a chain reaction of shit that, I mean, we want to talk about Superman going dark.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh,
that's,
wow.
That's, this shit goes dark.
Dang.
And the thing is I guess what, you know, sort of annoys me about the whole thing is, like, it's not like DC doesn't have the source material.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have oodles of stuff.
Yeah.
And Kirk, I think it was Kirk, brought up the point about how great the cartoon was.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Dwayne McDuffie, who, African-American man, who spearheaded that before his untimely death.
Oh, wow.
Great guy, absolutely great dude. But yeah, he's one of the main reasons that Justice League cartoon was as good as it was.
Wow.
Yes.
So yeah, big up to you there.
Justice League Unlimited.
Yes. Exactly. That was all him. As far as that whole animated, like, wing goes, like, they are literally standing. They're still standing on his shoulders.
Yeah.
Wow.
I heard they're doing horribly with the new animated shit.
Well, he's not there. Okay. You know. But I hope so. So here's the thing. Here's one more quick thing before we get off this DC thing. There is a name getting tossed around. David Corenswet. I don't know who this is. I've seen pictures of him.
Right. Is he sweaty?
No.
Does he eat corn?
Probably. But good looking guy. Good looking guy. Seems fit, whatever. You know, but basically, no, that like I'm struggling with, yeah, okay, he could play Superman, but you already had a guy.
I know. He was great.
You know, but who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Maybe James Gunn knows what he's doing. We're not really going to know. Nope. At least for, I'd give it another, what, 6 months? Mm-hmm. Before we see anything that'll actually evidence one way or the other.
Yeah.
Hey, Marvel, snatch up Cavill now. Hercules.
Yeah. Ooh. Hercules. Wow.
That would be some petty shit. I'm all about petty. It's fine.
I mean, they've had actors go back and forth. J.K. Simmons was J. Jonah Jameson, then went to DC and played Commissioner Gordon. So, you know, it would be nice to see Cavill go over to Marvel and play.
That would be cool.
You take my director, I take your Superman.
Because that's the Chicago way.
That's because that's the Obama way.
Right. Oh, that would be great, actually, if they made Obama president in one of these like superhero franchises, just for the fun.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Right. They already made Keith David president in Rick and Morty, so yeah.
Oh gosh.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
All right. Well, before we go, I think we wanted to have a quick talk because all right, it's Christmas time. People are, you know, are out there finding themselves in a place, and so a couple of weeks ago we lost Jason David Frank, who used to be the Green Ranger in the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers franchise. And then earlier this week, we lost Steven DJ Twitch Boss to suicide. And I guess the first thing that always throws somebody off when something like this happens is like, here's somebody who's talented, has so much going for them. Why would they do this? How do they do this? But at the end of the day, we really don't know what other people are struggling with.
Right.
You
know, and, you know, it's like all the memes and whatever about checking on your strong friends and all of that.
Sometimes that don't help.
Sometimes that doesn't help. And sometimes the person that's doing the checking isn't always qualified to do the checking. Amanda Seals hit on something earlier this week about if you just gonna call up somebody and listen to them and then just say, hit them with something stupid like "this too shall pass," sometimes that's not hitting it all the time. Sometimes you don't necessarily have to come up with the solution. Sometimes you may actually mess the person up more, especially if you're going to be on the other line, you know, kind of judging their you know, process.
Yeah.
You know, and we're all going through stuff. So, you know, sometimes I think people just have to learn to be kind.
Yeah.
And in being kind, you know, I feel like it's a matter of not judging somebody who's actually confiding in you and going through something. It's like, you know,
like just take the time to listen.
Yes.
You don't have to give advice. Just listen.
Yes, that's it. Exactly. So yeah, there it is in a nutshell. Because at the end of the day, we're all just trying to get each other to the other side of, you know.
And that shit is hard.
Yeah.
That shit ain't easy.
Yeah. But you're not alone. That's the thing. You're not alone.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even though you might want to be alone.
Sometimes you want to be alone. Don't get me wrong.
There are days I am a big fan of being alone. Yeah. But
yeah, don't, yeah. Just to, I would say just
But we got to take care of each other. And I think that
yeah.
that's basically the crux of it, especially yeah. with, you know, Christmas and what I like to call the hollow days. you know, it's like we just have to do a better job of stewardship, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, that in mind, I'd be remiss if I didn't, since we're talking about suicide, you know, just gonna spit it out. There is a hotline, 1-800-273-8255, for anyone who is finding themselves struggling.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Don't be ashamed.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't feel ashamed.
Mm-mm.
Don't feel, don't be scared. Don't feel, you know what, really just don't feel ashamed and guilty yeah. about doing this.
No one's going to judge you.
Some people, some people don't want to do it because they find it ridiculous, the idea of having to pay or talk to some stranger about your feelings. You know what, sometimes just talking to a stranger and they'll listen to you and not judge you. Sometimes that helps.
Sometimes it's helps, easier.
Yeah, it's easier. If you need to, I feel like, you know, if you need to just go in early, go to sleep, lay in bed, just, if you got to do that, just do it. But, you know, tomorrow's another day.
Yeah.
And another solution.
Yeah.
Maybe another way to get through whatever you guys are. This is what I do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just lay in bed and not get up.
Yeah.
But the only thing that keeps me from going the other step is just the hope that I'll be able to figure it out the next day.
Yeah. And we're here for you. Yeah.
What? Oh, wait. After what we did to academics? I ain't talking y'all niggas.
Oh, man. You know I'm coming after you next.
After what we did to academics over there? Nah, man.
Light you up like a Christmas tree, sir.
Oh, my God.
No. Look at it. Oh, no. Oh, God. You the one started the fight, bro.
I did.
I can only co-sign for so much.
I did. That's what keeps me up every night, guys. That's why I wake up every morning. I think to myself, you know, academics is a teacher today. Shit.
You know, academics.
You know, I can live another couple of 24 hours with how this rolls out. Yeah, I could do another 24 hours.
Look at Mark's face. Oh, my stars. I wish you guys could see his face. He's just shaking his head. Oh, no.
Every morning. Another 24 hours I can fuck with academics. I would do it. Mm-hmm. 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 I love you, brother. I love you, brother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we don't. We're not so much you have to worry about suicide in this group as maybe right. Something else.
Homicide. Mr. Abbott, some guy outside said you could spell cat with a G and an H. He said the G and the H is silent. He said it's like gnat or bat. He said B-A-G-H-T.
This is what I have to do. 4 years to get a degree to be mocked at by this one. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Four long years.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Why is the K in silent in night? Why don't you just leave that shit off? Mm. Just call him
night. Knife. Mm. You know.
Well, the good thing, Mark, I'm not going to the Bronx, and Denise lives too far away, so you really just got to worry about Kirk showing up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
much. Mm-hmm. Oh, my stars.
Before we go.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say happy holidays to all of you.
Happy holidays to you, too.
You know,
happy holidays.
It's been a tumultuous year.
It sure has.
And, you know, we come here every so often to either vent or converse about the things that we love and the things that make us joyful. And hopefully All of the people who are listening to us, who watch us, who follow us, are getting something out of it. You know, even mm-hmm. you know, even if it is to laugh at Black Moses down there. You know, you know.
He threw his hands up in the air. Yeah. He's like, I'm
back. If you feel like you want to scream, that's your way of letting off steam. Scream on.
Whatever you want to do.
I'm going to listen to that later, actually, as a matter of fact.
Black mm-hmm. man, born free, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. Times are changing, it's hard to see. Unless you take this walk with me. That's from Shaft.
I know what it's from.
Academics is like, I know it's from.
Tell me whatever. Shaft. Like, I don't know it's from Shaft.
The viewers might not know it's from Shaft.
Like, I don't know it's from Shaft.
The viewers might not know it's from Shaft, man.
That's the way you looked at it when you said it. Like, you know that's from Shaft.
That's got some damn nerve telling me, you know it's from Shaft, right? You know, I know it's from Shaft. You know, bald-headed motherfucker. Tell me.
I never even called you a bald-headed motherfucker. Oh my god.
Well, I have the right to say that because you know.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly.
Shaft. Tell me it's from Shaft.
All right, before this gets too far out of hand, I guess it's a good time to close out before. Unless somebody else had something they wanted to get off their chest. Denise, you something, you closing remarks?
I was gonna say, what's everyone's favorite Christmas movie?
Oh Lord. Christmas movie. I have a few. You know, and I think before we started this, we were gonna maybe get into some kind of Die Hard thing, which I totally co-sign as a Christmas movie. That is completely a Christmas movie.
Yes, yeah. It is.
If I was gonna go a little more sentimental, then obviously I'd lean into any one of the 1800 versions of Christmas Carol. I want to say the Albert Finney version, especially because it's kind of like a clever English musical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's always a fun one. Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes, that's my second favorite one. For sure.
Certainly consider that a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
You know. And then of course Werewolf of Watts, the Christmas special. That's
oh, look at the professor.
That's
that was an awesome episode. That was...
exactly. For those of you that haven't seen that, I have to tell you, you have missed something. When werewolves get under the mistletoe, I gotta tell you, it gets
furry. It gets very savage.
It's quite charming.
It's quite charming. Well, yeah, I want to wish everyone just a really safe, healthy holiday. Hug your loved ones. Your family's not necessarily blood relations, you know. It's your close friends. It's your fur babies. Yeah. Take the time to, and a little self-care as well. Just, you know, take a moment to give thanks that, you know, your heart's beating another day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm grateful for you guys too.
Aww.
We're grateful for you.
Grateful for you.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Yeah. Happy holidays.
Thank you, really nice.
Yeah, right.
That was,
or as Black Moses would say, happy holidays. You know I'm talking about you, Kurt.
I know.
He said, I know. It's about the girls.
You have a wonderful life. I got no words for you. You have a wonderful life.
Who, Mark? Yeah, he definitely. Mm-hmm. He definitely has a wonderful life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And not in the, Mary, Mary, don't you know me? Not in that way either.
You hear that, Bill?
An angel got his wings, that bastard. Now we need asshole.
Damn.
Wow.
Kirk, anything?
My favorite movie for Christmas. Hmm. I don't celebrate Christmas. I don't believe in that shit.
Of course not. We know that.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
But It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful still, Life.
Really?
It, yeah, speaking it still of, it's actually makes me...
wow.
Makes me very... I can't even put it to words. It just it makes me feel kind of good about stuff.
Hmm. You mean those, sad, but, yeah. So do you mean like the really, really long version where they really like, you know, play out the whole scene in the bank and
right.
And all that?
You know, there's no black people the fish in it, right?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I meant the fishbone version. In the fishbone version, they sing it.
Fishbone version?
Yeah. They're going to have a good
fishbone, fishbone or mudbone?
No, oh. Fishbone. The music group, Fishbone.
No, I know Fishbone.
Oh, you
know Fishbone. I was just thinking the mudbone version might be.
There's a mudbone?
No, there's not. There's also no Werewolf of Watts Christmas special.
That shit was awesome, though.
You had to experience it.
Well, 12 people went looking that up, too.
I sure did.
Right?
Like, Werewolf of Watts.
And they cussing me out in my DMs right there.
Rotten Tomatoes. Where is that?
IMDb doesn't have anything on this.
Hmm. Werewolf of what?
Is that what they special? Oh, very cool.
There he is. There the Werewolf of Watts.
Oh my God. Oh, awesome.
Werewolf of Watts. Werewolf of Watts.
There you go. Somebody's going to make that movie one day.
We're going to make that movie someday.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. Yes.
Of course, we might want to play Powerball or some shit.
Every week, sir. I play every week.
Yeah. Actually, I do too now that I have the app.
Nice.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oof, I got you. It's all good.
Mark.
You're right. Tired of these motherfucking wolves and these motherfucking boxes.
I did not. My favorite Christmas movie is A Christmas Carol with Alistair Sim.
Oh.
Oh.
I'm very specific about it because that's probably because not only that, but Alistair Sim also did the Christmas Carol animated version done by Chuck Jones.
Oh.
Ooh.
Which
is, I thought he was going to say Chuck D. I was like, what?
Chuck D.
Christmas. The Rhythm. The Rebel.
Yeah, boy.
Jingle bells.
With Flavor Flav as the Ghost of Christmas Present.
Yeah. Oh, Flavor Flav.
Look here.
Jingle bells. Garment. Hanging from a chimney.
Look here under my garment. These little niggas is ignorance and want.
Yo, Chuck, man. There's wolves out in Watts, man. Yes. Oh, Terminator X.
Jesus Christ. Help us.
Right. Terminator X, rock the bells. Terminator X. We got him crying.
I we can't.
Got more crying.
You tried. I know. I know.
I can't. I can't.
Sure you can.
Oh, man.
But that is, I mean, that's number one. And then, of course, Die Hard is the second one. And
what about Gremlins?
Oh
yeah, Gremlins. Yeah. Everybody always that's seems to forget movie. About Gremlins. That is a very Christmas.
It is it a is. Christmas movie.
It is.
That is
it
a is Home Christmas Alone.
But
Home Alone.
And yeah. Home Alone. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. True. Real true, quick. True.
Did somebody mentioned it? Was it one of you guys about the Gremlins? The plot hole for Gremlins.
That was me.
That was you, right?
That was me in a separate conversation.
Right.
And I'm sure snow. Somebody else has thought of it by now, but. I was rewatching it the other day and I was thinking to myself, wait a minute. So if they multiply from water, isn't snow water? And aren't they running around in snow the whole time?
Wow.
And then I got to thinking about that a little bit, because I was like, wait, that's basically the end of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Christmas Armageddon.
It's Christmas Armageddon. if you stay within the rules, right. Snow's mm-hmm. water.
Well, maybe because it's a solid, they can kind of work around it that way versus being a liquid.
I'm a gremlin walking around.
Hey, Mark.
In snow. The snow melts on me as I'm running around.
Hey, Mark, would that be called a Paca Christmas?
Oh, no. Look what you did to him.
Paca Christmas or Chris Popalypse? A Chris Pocalypse. A Christ Pocalypse.
Traditional spelling.
Christ Pocalypse.
The H is silent.
You know what? I'm not even going to dignify that with an answer.
Damn.
Ooh.
Well.
Wow.
Well.
Next round is on me.
Right. The next round is on me.
I think that's those are the only really true a lot of people like Elf.
Yeah.
And Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
Oh, and that horrible Santa Claus the movie.
What, the Tim Allen thing?
No, that's the Santa Claus. I'm talking about back in the 80s when the Salkinds, who did Superman, did Santa Claus the movie with Dudley Moore as an elf and John Lithgow as a evil toy maker who they went to try to steal. They hired Dudley Moore because he worked for Santa. He quit. He left Santa Claus. And he went to work for this guy. And the guy was like exploiting him or something like that. And Santa had to.
Yeah. I vaguely remember that one.
Do his thing.
Yeah. I used to love the year there was no Santa Claus. Because you had Heathmiser. Right. Yeah. Those guys.
Yeah.
And what's the other guy? Cold Miser?
Yeah.
Look at
Heat Miser, Cold Miser.
I actually want to throw something Steven's way since he brought up the thing about gremlins.
Uh-oh.
What do you think would happen if Rudolph had taken all of that personally? And when he came back and he was like, Santa was like, will you drive my sleigh tonight? No.
No.
No. They'd have been like, did you say no? Yup. Y'all made fun of me.
What part of no do you motherfuckers not understand?
I don't understand. I'm not pulling no sleigh. I damn sure ain't leading nobody nowhere.
They damn sure have to change the song. Rudolph the petty ass reindeer. Had a very shiny nose.
And in the end, all you hear is Rudolph go, I hope you die. I hope you die and go to hell.
No, because I keep thinking, because I love the Rudolph special. I watch it every year. I haven't missed it since I was a kid.
Isle of Misfit Toys and all.
Yes.
But I always thought two things. One, first, let's begin with the fact that your own father punked you.
Oof. How about that?
Yeah. Donner was like, yo, you ain't going to embarrass me with no red nose. I think you're missing a point here, Donner. Why your kid got a red nose? That's the question you need to be asking yourself. Not worried about the kid having it. The second thing,
a red nose, daddy.
Donner, here are the results.
Oh man!
Turns out you are not the father.
And oh my and, god! And then when Rudolph, like when he comes back and it, you know, they first of all, you know, I guess they apologize to him or whatever, and he forgives him. But then the fact that after you punked your son is the one that's got to lead you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that. Like. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pulling the sleigh.
Not you, old man.
Right. Right. Keep up.
Keep up.
And not to mention the fact Santa got a whole workshop and everything else like that. You ain't got no flashlights?
Apparently not.
Because the slaves in Shannon's shop is like, I ain't doing that shit.
Right.
But
that's what
Herbie said. But wait, that's what Herbie said. Herbie was like, oh, I can't be a dentist? Fine. Find someone else to paint this truck.
Right.
I'm out.
can't spell slaves without V-E-S. So, to Kirk's point.
Yeah, this Elves sitting there talking, you know, I was there at the final battle with the Dark Lord. Now I'm making toys. I carried a sword and killed at least 120 orcs with my bow. Now I make trains.
You didn't give me a whole nother.
Now I'm making train sets of dolls.
Right.
They don't even look like me.
Yeah. Kirk just gave a new version of Lord of the Rings.
Right.
He said, who do we trust? Who can be turned special? To? Men? Elves? We don't have the Santa can come. Santa. Where was Santa when the Westfall fell? Where is
Santa? Right? Right. The real reason why Celeborn did not want to go back into the West because he knew the elves are being enslaved by Santa. Even Galadriel, the power of Galadriel could not withstand the might of Santa Claus.
I have power, but it does not not stronger than the great fat man in the north.
Ho, 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 you golden-haired wench, give me a doll. Oh, God.
I'm gonna make you make some dolls now.
That's one of the Legolas stories.
Yeah.
You know how Legolas is like, well, how come nobody wants to go that way? They talk about a man up there named Santa Claus. Many years ago, my kin, the elves, went up into those mountains and they never returned.
They never came back.
Some say they're now making toys for the little children across the world. But when Gondor's Christmas was dire, when nobody else would come, that's when they found the red-nosed reindeer. Lane. Wait,
one
what?
To rule them all.
One nose to lead them all.
Wouldn't that be some shit? Instead of Sauron's eye, it's like Rudolph's nose.
Yeah, exactly.
What have you? Did you ever see Raging Rudolph?
Raging Rudolph?
Look it up.
Why is that familiar to me?
SNL skit.
Oh, it's an SNL skit. Right.
When Rudolph it's an SNL came, skit. When they beat up Rudolph and he comes back and decimates everybody, and I'm like,
nice.
him and Herbie come back, and it's going.
Come like crime lords. Is the one with the crime lords Mad TV or is that there one goes. SNL?
I think that was it. Mad TV.
No, that was Mad TV.
Yeah. Mad TV had they had crime lords, and that was crazy. So
I just love the fact that now that you mentioned Gremlins, I love the fact that. One of the guys in Gremlins was like, there's a gremlin in my cab. Look, there's a gremlin.
Gremlin in my cab.
I was like, he knew, because he's the one who was in World War II.
Yeah.
And he talked about how the gremlins. And then he was like, there's a gremlin. There's a gremlin. I'm like, that's messed up. He actually seen them.
That's really messed up. Oh, man.
I ain't gonna front. I can't wait for New Year. I'm more ready for New Year than Christmas.
For New Year?
Wow. Yeah. I think everybody's kind of over 2022.
Yeah. I'm a little nervous about 2023, though. Oof.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, 2020 was so horrible. You thought 2021 would be better. And it's like, no. And then 2022? Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I thought 2021, you know what, I guess because when you're in the basement, there ain't nowhere else to go but up.
Yeah, that's
true. And if
true.
2020 was the basement, then I think we came out of the basement at least in 2021.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, except for the whole political climate, that, I mean, to me, that's the bigger issue right now. You know, just all these Marjorie Taylor Greens and all these folks running around.
Wait,
with this,
but the,
like,
the red wave turned into a trickle.
Oh, yeah.
And we got to see each other in Denver.
Yes, that's yes. true. That's right? Very true. Very
and
very
in true. Atlanta.
Yes.
And we was in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You should have came, Denny's.
I tried. Time. I was doing Vamps Next Door.
Well, yeah.
You was
he
doing, had, oh, wait. And you got a Vamps Next Door.
Just shooting the Vamps Next Door. Yeah.
So was 2022 wasn't too bad.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. Bad. Wasn't I'm still bad. Panic shopping.
Groceries. As a team, we were productive.
Yes.
Yes.
And individually. Because Academics got another gig.
Yes!
That's right.
Yeah. Academics.
I'm just saying.
Sir, yes, sir.
Yeah, 2022
ain't too bad. So 2023, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's yeah. right. Looking good, Billy
shrooms.
Ray.
More shrooms.
Feeling good.
I love how the two of you just enough enthusiasm just to actually get the words out of your mouth. Just enough.
Drugs.
I think we'll drugs. Be okay. I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be again, fabulous. I think we again politically standing, I think again, I said it before, this needed to happen. The garbage was at the bottom of the lake and it needed to come up. And now that everybody's seen it, people are making it clear. They're making their points clear. They're making their points valid. And hopefully, you know, we'll see what happens. You know,
yeah.
we still got a lot of these morons running around. I'm still wondering when Kirk is going to send me my Trump NFT collectible trading cards.
Oh, God.
Actually, good sir. I changed my mind and no longer will we be doing Trump NFTs. We're doing Obanox NFTs.
Nice.
You know what? Nice. I'll take six of those.
First customer ever. There you go. You can store them in a trunk and we'll open it up in 2063. You can give it as an heirloom to your daughter. It's like, was that?
I'll take
before
seven.
I go.
Beatrice here wants one too.
Beatrice,
there you go. Obanax NFTs.
I
won't be
a,
worth nice. Shit until 3,000.
Nice.
I have a prediction as well, and he gonna laugh at this when I say it because I made him laugh earlier.
Uh-oh.
I predict in 2023, Rookwater's Curse is gonna get picked up to be a film. And they're going to cast, Terrence Howard as Christian Brookwater.
Old ass Terrence Howard.
Oh no!
Brookwater's Curse, Maine. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Oh god!
And you know what make it all
my
better?
Stars
is that they hire Misha Green to direct it.
Oh gosh.
That'll make it all better.
Yeah. Where did I put that suicide hotline number?
Just take the check, man. Just take the check.
Yeah, exactly.
Take the check.
Walk away. Walk away.
I know, right?
and then the entire project gets stolen by Will Smith because he
right.
wants to play Waters.
Right. Stolen. Yes.
So he wants to play Brooklyn.
I would actually accept that over Terrence Howard, even though then. People will probably sure. boycott it like they are apparently doing with Emancipation, even though it actually looks really good.
I don't know. I can't watch more slave stuff. Ugh.
Yeah.
So heavy.
I'm still mad I gotta probably pay for HBO now. So.
Oh.
And then there's that. Yeah. All right, kids. You know what?
What?
Yeah.
We kind of dragged this out, I guess.
I got two shows.
Basically.
It's the holiday special.
I mean, actually, that's right. That's right. It's a holiday special. But just to kind of piggyback off something Mark said, you know, I am actually very grateful for the three of you. Because, you know, let's face it, it's hard to find your tribe sometimes.
Yeah.
But we are definitely a tribe.
Definitely.
And yeah.
That's yeah. It.
Love you, yes, three crazy mofos.
Love you too, man. Love you too.
Love you too, big time.
And with that, as Godzilla Santa Claus might say,
yes!
We out of here. We love you. We may do another episode before the year is out. At least I want to. So we'll figure that out. We'll get back to you. And in the meantime, love on each other, folks, because we're all we got.
That's right.
Later.